This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاك الله خير. الحمد لله. Allah has brought us here to the third night of the blessed month of Ramadan for us here in Cape Town. For some of you around the world, you're already on your fourth night, and I hope inshallah for us here the second day of fasting it was easier than the first, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the goodness and the blessings of this month. Amen. Alhamdulillah. We continue inshallah our tafsir of Surah Fatiha. And yesterday we spoke about the names of Surah Fatiha. We mentioned how Surah Fatiha is not only the greatest chapter and revelation in the Quran, rather it is the greatest revelation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ever revealed. And we mentioned some of the blessings and the virtues of Surah Fatiha. We also spoke about the isti'adha, a'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim, and the basmala, where we said some scholars have held the opinion that it is the basmala, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, is the first verse of Surah Fatiha. Rather, the majority view is that it is not the first verse of Surah Fatiha. It is like in all the other surahs, it is rather an introduction or an opening statement before the chapter begins. Today, inshallah, we will actually go into the tafsir, the explanation of the surah. This surah, which we've learned basically on the laps of our grandmothers, our mothers, may Allah grant our parents a high place in Jannah. The surah which we learned when we were so young and we recited daily, and in fact, it's always being recited. We perhaps have not fully understood the magnitude of the surah. One hadith really shows us how amazing the surah is. In Sahih Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ says that Allah himself says, so this is a hadith Qudsi, it means it's a hadith that goes all the way up to Allah. Allah says that, Allah the Glorious and the Exalted says, I have divided the salah or the prayer between myself and my servant and my slave equally, and my servant shall be granted what he asks for. So when Allah speaks about the salah, yeah, he's not talking about the Maghrib, Isha, Fajr salah. He's talking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about Surah Fatiha. Surah Fatiha is called the salah. Now, a side note, the word salah linguistically, I know we understand salah to be prayer, rather it is a dua. It is an invocation, if you will, from a linguistic standpoint. And so Surah Fatiha is actually a dua. Surah Fatiha is a dialogue, a conversation that we are having with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah himself responds. Every time someone recites Surah Fatiha, Allah responds to your invocation. And so Allah says, I have divided this amazing dua in half. And basically, as we know, Surah Fatiha has seven verses. Three of them will be exclusive for Allah. Three of them is about praising and glorifying Allah. And then three is for us. And then there is a powerful middle verse which links the two, which links us to Allah. It's an amazing surah when you look at it in that regard. And we'll get to, inshallah, each verse and explain them one by one. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I have divided the salah, meaning Surah Fatiha, in half between myself and my servant equally, and the servant shall get what he asks for. And so the very first verse of Surah Fatiha, and the first, therefore, the first verse of the Quran. And what an amazing way to begin. If you think about it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking as the Lord of all creation with such power and grandeur and majesty when he begins by saying, at the beginning of everything, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise belongs to Allah alone, the Lord of the worlds, the Lord of all of creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when we say that, Allah responds by saying, my servant has praised me. My servant has glorified me. So let us just do a bit of tafsir, a bit of in-depth tafsir. We won't be able to do this for every verse. Rather, just this one verse, inshallah, we want to break it down. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by saying, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, that all the praise is due to Allah, Lord of the worlds. Now, what's amazing about this, it's a statement of fact. Allah is not commanding you, praise me. Allah is not saying you should make hamd. Allah is saying whether you make hamd of him, whether you praise him or you don't praise him, whether there's no one on the earth of believers to praise Allah, Allah is saying it all belongs to me from the beginning, even before there were creations, to praise Allah. Allah says I am deserving of all praise. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also puts the definite al-hamd, meaning not just a praise, some praise, every single thing of goodness you see in the world, it ultimately goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you look at someone and you praise them, mashallah, you have a successful career, mashallah, you've done well in your exams, this is actually a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from his wealth and his knowledge. And so everyone else that is praised conditionally But it is Allah Himself that is being praised. Allah is also saying that the praise to Allah is not situational. And this is very important for us as believers, that we praise Allah in all times, that which is good, times which are easy, times when we are comfortable, when we are wealthy, and even when times are tough, when we are going through hardships, when we are even, as the hadith says, even as we are dying, we only say to Allah hamd, that praise is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything of goodness belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and that He is the most deserving of praise. To understand the difference between hamd, there's a word that we know which is very close to it, which is shukr. Shukr is like jazakallah, you know, afwan, you know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you, or we say shukr and thank you basically. Shukr, the difference between hamd and shukr, we respond to someone that did something good for us. Whereas hamd goes to Allah even when we always have something to be thankful for, even when we are maybe in a situation where we are going through difficulty, we still give hamd and praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He is the most deserving of that. What's beautiful about this phrase alhamd, and if you think about it, we know from the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the very, very first words spoken by mankind, our father Nabi Adam, the first thing he said was alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. How so? We know the hadith that Nabi Adam alayhi salam was a statue, and he stood as a statue for a long period of time in Jannah, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blew into him a soul. And as the soul, you know, it came down from the head, and it moved slowly down from the front of his head. And when the soul reached his nose, Nabi Adam sneezed. And after he sneezed, intuitively something in his DNA, something which is ingrained in us, Nabi Adam said alhamdulillah. As we know, when you sneeze you say alhamdulillah. And so this is the first statement made by mankind, and Allah was the one that responded yarhamukillah, that Allah responded by saying I will have mercy, may Allah have mercy upon you. And so this began the relationship between us as servants and Allah as our Lord. We begin always and praising and thanking Allah, and Allah responds to us with mercy and with kindness. Also very amazingly, as alhamdulillah is the first thing we said as a creation, it is the first thing which begins the Quran, it is also the last dua we will make in Jannah. Now in Jannah, there is no salah, well, you know, alhamdulillah, you don't have to worry, you don't have to wake up for fajr in Jannah. There are no long taraweehs in Jannah. There is no fasting in Jannah. You know, one sister, we were speaking about the amazing things of Jannah, and the sister said, I only have one question. Do I have to wear my hijab in Jannah? And subhanallah, no, there is no hijab in Jannah either. But there is some form of a shukr, of a dua, that we, a dhikr, if we will. And in Surah Yunus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a ayah that we all know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَدَعْوَاهُمْ فِيهَا subhanakallah. That in Jannah, their call will be subhanakallah, wa tahiyatun fiha salam, and their greetings to one another will be salam, wa akhiru da'wahum, and their final dua, their final da'wah will be alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Meaning the people of Jannah, after getting and receiving for all eternity, every time they receive a blessing, they will say alhamdulillah. This will be the final salah. So even though salah will not continue into Jannah, what will continue is this phrase, this dhikr of praise be to Allah, Lord of the world. So it is the first dua we made, and it is the last dua we will make, and it is the dua that begins the Quran and begins Surah Fatiha. So Allah says, when you say alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds. He hears, He says, my servant has made hamd of me, he has praised me. Then also in this ayah, which is very important, something which you don't think about, the word or the phrase, lafdhul jalala, the name Allah. What does Allah mean? Now we know that every name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is attached to an attribute or a quality of Allah. So when Allah speaks about He is Al-Khaliq, He is the creator, we understand from that He is the one that creates things. When we say He's Ar-Razzaq, the one who gives rizq, meaning He feeds the creation. Now the word Allah, the phrase Allah, what does this mean? And there are many discussions around the origin of the word of Allah. If we go linguistically, one of it is waliyah, which means to be infatuated with love and to be something beyond our amazement, to be so deeply in love with something that it cannot be comprehended. This verb also means that if you were to lose the object of your love, you will be completely overwhelmed with grief. So Allah is that one that all your love is devoted to. Also, it could be one of the scholars have said it comes from the verb alaha, which means to turn to protection, in terms of turning to Allah in protection and to be praised. But the most correct meaning, and this is the tafsir of Ibn Abbas and many of the scholars, the word Allah, the term, the name Allah, goes back to a verb called aliha. And aliha means that which is worshipped. So anything that is worshipped is an ilah. Like la ilaha illallah, the word ilah is something which receives worship. In English we call it a deity. And there are many, many ilahs in the world. Jesus Christ is an ilah because he receives worship. We have money is an ilah for some people. They worship their money, themselves, their pride, their business, whatever it might be. They worship it in some way or another. So the word aliha means something which receives worship. Now Allah is al-ilah, the one and only deserving of worship. And this is, so this name, which is of course the most pronounced name of Allah in the Quran, it is also the name, if you look at the Old Testament, if you look at the Bible and the Injil, the original name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in those scriptures is Elohim and Ilahi, that it is the same derivation of the one who deserves worship. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, the thing that makes him, because he is the Lord, he is the Creator, because he has all these amazing qualities, because he is perfect, he alone has the right of worship. All worship should be alone for him. And so we say, Alhamdulillah, all praise be unto him, the one and only object of worship. And the name Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it appears over 3,500 times in the Quran. And as we said, you would not, usually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring two names together. You will say, for example, Al-Aziz, Al-Hakim. You know, they'll come in duplicates. Allah will bring two of his names together in many, many ayat. As you recite the Quran, you will notice this. Whereas the name Allah stands on its own. The name Allah stands on its own. When you read the Quran, you'll find this is the name which comes on its own. Why? Because all the other names are attached to the name Allah. When you say, oh Allah, help me, you mean, oh Allah, you who is Al-Aziz, the most powerful, you who is Al-Hayyul Al-Qayyum, who is eternal, you who is As-Samad, who has no need of anything else, you help me. Allah conveys all these names, all the 99 and the other names of Allah which we don't even know, and that is why he alone, because he has those qualities, he is Al-Allah, Al-Ilah, the one and only deserving of worship. So we say, all praise be unto Allah, the one who has these perfect qualities. And who is he? He is Rabbul Alameen. The word Rabb is another name of Allah. So already we have a second name of Allah being mentioned here in the first verse of the Quran. Rabb is the creator. He is the one who controls, the controller. He is the one who owns it, and he is the one who nourishes. The word Rabb also usually refers to a shepherd. It refers to the farmer, the one who takes care of his flock, who takes care of the plants. So Allah is the Rabb of all of creation. He looks after all of creation. Not only does he control it, not only did he create it, but he consciously, actively is involved, caring for it, looking after it. And so this is the first verse we're saying that he is, all the praise is to the one and only worthy of worship, the creator and the sustainer of the entire, the alameen, meaning all of creation. Allah uses the words alameen, meaning the worlds, because there are so many creations, so many types of creatures, living and animate and inanimate, that we don't even know of. We know of the jinn and the angels. There may be other creatures out there that we don't know of, that have intellect. We know of the plants and the animals and the creatures that are not alive. All of these things are a family, are a world on its own. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Lord of all of them. He's the creator and he looks after all of them. You know, subhanAllah, we live in a time when, you know, atheism is on a rise. And to deny the existence of a creator is something which is, has never been, has been so common as it is today. One of the things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without going deep into proving his existence, Allah is saying the fact that there is creation, and that we know scientifically now, if we look into the universe, we know there was a point in time when the creation didn't exist, and all of a sudden it existed. So Allah says the fact that there are worlds, that there is harmony in the universe, there must be someone who created it and looks after it and keeps it in harmony, and he is the one who is the Lord of it, and he, to him belongs all the praise. So we begin by saying, Alhamdulillah, all praise be unto Allah, our Lord, the creator of the Lord of the, of all the worlds. And then the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Amazing. The first thing Allah wants to tell you, the first information about himself he wants to convey. He's Ar-Rahman and he's Ar-Rahim. That both these names, as we know, are derivations of mercy. What is amazing, Allah says, I control this universe and I nourish this universe with mercy, with kindness, with love. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave two names, both of them depicting mercy, in the very first two ayat of the Quran. He introduces himself, if you want to know who I am and how I control the universe, I do it with Rahmah, and I'm Rahman and Rahim. And we spoke about this yesterday. We said the difference between the two. Ar-Rahman is much wider. It is a kind of, Allah is infinitely merciful by His nature. And Ar-Rahim, if we will, is when He acts, He also acts with mercy. One way of understanding it is saying Allah is merciful with Himself, meaning His natural state is that of mercy, and He's Ar-Rahim when He acts with mercy. So Allah wants us to fully understand that everything Allah does, He does with mercy, with kindness, with love. And it's amazing that if we just stopped here, if all we knew of the Quran was this, these two verses, it would be, subhanAllah, enough. We learn from these two verses that there is a Lord, there is a one who created us, that He is looking after the creation, and He is infinitely merciful when He, you know, interacts with His creation. Now, we must mention that we are in the month of mercy. We have received the book of mercy from the tongue of the Prophet of mercy, from Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, the most merciful. And therefore, for us, what we take from this is, Allah, the Prophet says in the hadith, that the merciful, the people of mercy, will be shown mercy by Ar-Rahman, by the most merciful, because they are merciful to those on the earth, and the one in the heavens will show mercy on you. So if we want to receive the mercy of Allah, we receive His mercy by ourselves showing this quality of mercy. The quality of mercy is something which is divine. And that when we are of course not in any way likened to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but in the other hadith we know that every bit of mercy on this earth is actually from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself, from His divine mercy. And so it is up to us to be merciful, to receive the mercy of Allah. So again, we continue the conversation. When we say Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Allah says, my servant has exalted me. He has elevated me. He has raised me up. Then in the third ayah, and this is the third of the one half for Allah, when we say Malik Yawmiddin, there's two recitations here. Malik, meaning the owner of the day of judgment, or it could be Maliki Yawmiddin, meaning the king of the day of judgment, and both of them are recited. And why Allah chose the day of Qiyamah and to use another name, so this is the fifth name, the first name was Allah, then Allah said Ar-Rabb, and then He mentioned Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, and here He uses the name Malik or Malik, meaning the king and owner of the day of judgment. Why on this day? There is a day that will come when all the kings from the beginning of time will be there. Fir'aun will be there. The kings of the different countries will be there. The presidents will be there. On that day, there will be no king besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On that day, when all the sovereigns are put together, there is only one sovereign. When all of humanity stands before Allah, then there is only one owner now. No one has a right of ownership, of sovereignty besides Him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, now these ayat, what is the link between them? Allah is speaking in the first ayah, Rabbul Alameen, of this world that we see. And then we will also, He mentions the day of Qiyamah, meaning that there is another life beyond this. And Allah links these two with Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, meaning that He's merciful in this life and in the next life. But with His mercy comes judgment. That Allah's mercy at the same time is balanced with His justice. That there is also a day where people will be rewarded and they'll be punished and held accountable for their sins. And He's still Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. So again, it's amazing that these three verses brings our entire theology of the belief in Allah, the belief in Qiyamah, the belief in destiny. All of it is put down in these three verses amazingly. So when we say these three verses, and then we recite the middle ayah, which is perhaps the most important ayah of the surah. We say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Allah says, this is now between me and my servant. And now I will grant my servant what they have requested. So the other half, which we'll talk about tomorrow, inshallah, is about what we want, Ya Allah. And we began by praising Allah, glorifying Allah, exalting Allah. And then we say the link between Allah and us. So there was an Allah. We began describing Him, we began describing His power and His might and His mercy. Now the link to reach Allah is إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. Ya Allah, You alone do we worship. It's very difficult to give tafsir without going into the Arabic. To make you understand in English, the object of a verb comes after the verb. So we say Muhammad hit the door, or Muhammad kicked the ball. The ball comes after the verb of kicking. This is normal spoken. This is how we speak even in Arabic. Usually the object comes after the verb. But here in this verse, Allah says, You, Allah, we worship. Meaning Allah comes first and then the worship إياك, you, ya Allah, we worship, وإياك نستعين, and you do we put our dependency on. Why is it like that? When you bring the object first and then the verb, it gives a meaning of exclusivity, that you alone do we worship, that all worship that we have, every bit of worship is for you alone. And this, we've said it so many times, that this is the theme of the whole Quran. That Surah Fatiha sets up the whole Quran, and this verse sets up the entire theme of the Quran, which is our relationship with Allah is that of servitude and worship, and our worship is for Him alone. Ya Allah, you alone we worship. All our prayer, all our fasting, all our charity is for your and your pleasure. You alone we worship, wa iyyaka nasta'in, and you alone, Ya Allah, again we repeat Allah, basically iyyaka, I mean you alone, Ya Allah, we depend that everything now we have worshipped, we're depending on you, Ya Allah, to assist us, to help us. So our job is to turn to Allah with worship and praise, and then it is we hope and we depend on Allah responding with mercy and with kindness. And then Allah says, when you say this, you have praised Him, you have glorified Him, you have exalted Him, and then you have turned to Allah in worship. Now we are waiting for Allah's response. So Allah says, now I will give to my servant that which he wants. And so we'll continue inshallah tomorrow with the second half of the surah, which is for us, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give to us and answer to us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. May Allah keep us steadfast on His worship. May everything we do be for the sake of Allah and for His pleasure. Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.